Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, January 23rd, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time in the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar, heed the warning, get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, remember, text me first because all the robocalls, you'll get a quicker answer. Moving right along. Anyway, you can find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives. All this contact information is very simply at our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. Of course, remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally. It's live on YouTube, some FM. So pray about sporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. In worldwide, in places like Brussels, Belgium, that was a shock to us. I'll tell you why in a minute. Winnipeg, Canada, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and courts in the United States, such as Fort Worth, Texas, Los Angeles, California, and Columbus, Ohio. This week, back to Brussels, Belgium. Brussels, Belgium, my hat goes off to you. You were the largest group of listeners for our radio programs when they podcast later on in the evening after the live program. So Brussels, Belgium, that's a shock, but amen, because Wichita does a lot, so do some of these other places. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter, Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's very important program. Dear Heavenly Father, our prayer radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Just bless this program tonight, Father, so that we can glorify you and not us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk in a roundabout sort of way. We're going to talk about Virginia and some other things. I mean, while the world seems to watch, for conservatives, we're all saying, well, California is going to be the example. California is the example of what the liberals are doing. California is the example. There's actually a lot of important things going on in Virginia, and one of them, you saw it this week with the last few days this week with the gun rights thing, you know, and all the people showed up, and if they'd have had their way, they would have, I believe they would have pulled a false flag, but there was just too many patriots that showed up. But there's other things going on in Virginia that you should know about and is actually going along around the country. Now, this was written, a little bit of this is what I'm going to read, is written by Robert Marshall. He's a former member of the Virginia House of Delegates. He was recently voted out, just the last election, by an LBJQ or however you, whatever that long alphabet thing is of the gay people. He was outvoted by a transvestite, took his seat. But here's what he has to say in part. We're not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to use it to lead into for a conversation. Anyway, so he says, if Christians don't personally engage in politics, it's over for America. Folks, I wholeheartedly agree with that title because I've been telling you that ever since I've been on radio. Ever since I've been on radio. And for the record, let's just bring Frank Stephan on. You're on here with us, right, Frank?
I am.
Okay.
I had to just turn up my dial.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, folks, we got Frank in on this, and he's a very important person to talk about some of these things. But let me finish giving this leaving him, and we'll get Frank in here to talk. I just wanted to make sure he was there because y'all love him, right? Okay. Anyway, he says, if Christians don't personally engage in politics, it's over for America. If we fail to act in the public square, more immoral policies will spread and harm those we love. Now, this was written on in September 19th. Now, this is before the gun thing. Anyway, he says that Virginia is in trouble. He said the so-called Equality Act on October 30th, 2008, Barack Obama said, we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. They've been following through on that. The legal policy changes under Obama administration paved the way for the Equality Act, which is H.R. 5, which passed the United States House of Representatives on May 17th by a vote of 236 to 173. This, folks, and this is what he says the Equality Act does, and we pointed it out before. The Equality Act would fundamentally and radically alter civil rights law to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, in the same way racial discrimination is prohibited. Analysis by pro-life and pro-family organizations as well as U.S. Catholic bishops have warned the Equality Act would do this. He writes, require faith-based hospitals, doctors, nurses to participate in or to perform and assist with abortions or lose their medical licenses. Require tax funding of all abortions without restriction. Mandate that any entity that provides health care for pregnancy and childbirth should be required to provide what? Abortions as a related medical condition. Force women to share private, intimate spaces with men who identify as female, including bathrooms, lockers, schools, hospitals, prisons, gyms, military barracks, homeless shelters, that list goes on. Disallow Catholic and private school single-sex sports teams from competing against public school sports teams, which no longer would be permitted to have discriminatory single-sex teams. Folks, we've been seeing that. You realize that females, they can't win against these transvestites. Anyway, decertify Catholic and Christian schools from satisfying state attendance laws if they refuse to adopt LGBTQ policies. Forbid groups like the Knights of Columbus, Catholic Charities, and so on and so forth to stop getting block grants from the government to help people. Prohibit Catholic schools and parishes from obtaining construction loans. These things go on and on and on with this Equality Act. And how did they do it? How did they upset this congressman? They upset him because the left does something that Christians don't do. He says later in this article that how do they defeat him? They got out and they walked door to door and did what? Knocked on the doors and talked to people and told them all the good things that they were going to be doing for him without telling them the other things. Well, that's what politics people do. But why aren't Christians out knocking door to door? The other major thing that happened in Virginia, this guy got upset. But look at what's taking over there in Virginia with the gun rights thing. That is an example of what the left would intend to do if they gain power or work with this impeachment or the things going on. Frank, I want to bring you in now. This is a broad spectrum of what I'm talking about, but do you kind of see my point? Virginia is a great example of these things. Back to you.
Well, you know, I have a differing view, honestly, because I don't believe Christians, their focus needs to be involved in politics, to tell you the truth. Really? I think Christians should back off from politics at this point because politics are nothing but lies and evil. And prepare your family. Get your stuff together. Get ready for what your Bible says is coming. You call yourself a Christian, start acting like one. And I don't mean holier than thou and running around telling everybody how good you are. I mean start preparing for what the Bible is telling you is coming. How arrogant do we have to be to think that, we all need to get up and vote so that we can go change what the Bible says? because I guarantee you there's nothing in there that says, oh, wait a minute, unless everybody gets out and votes, then this won't happen. There is none of that, okay? It's going to happen. It is written. We're on the way. Oh, we've gone too far. The country is over. Start protecting yourself and your family. And if you are fortunate enough or blessed enough to be around other Christians, you know, circle the wagons with them. But, you know, this government, what does good have to do with evil?
Nothing. But let me come here for a minute. And that's okay that you disagree. But let me ask, here's a couple of things. We have saw in the last few elections that votes do matter. And the person that's in office does matter. Just like right now, President Trump did matter, and he was got in by votes. They thought they had overwhelmed us and had it set up to overtake him, the New World Order. But enough people got out and voted, being urged, I honestly believe, by the Father, that we got out and voted and stood up. Otherwise, and I do believe we're supposed to be engaged. We're not supposed to just let evil go on and on. We are supposed to make an attempt to stop evil, and that's one of the ways to do it. Yes, absolutely, I believe that we should prepare, because inevitably, you are right. At some point, we're stepping off the cliff. But we should engage, starting even at the local level. We just proved it here in our city. We had a mayor here that was running this city into the ground and killing it. And that government was bad. It was only, and technically, it was only for the people in this city that were a little better off than the other people. But we voted that guy out, and so now things are going to be better. Had we just said, okay, we'll leave it up to God, it only took, like, in our small town, a question of about 10 votes to make the difference. Back to you.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not telling anybody you shouldn't vote. If you want to vote, vote. But if you don't want to vote, don't. I understand. But, you know, you just sitting around not doing anything is also not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, oh, well, don't vote and just don't do nothing. Sit on the couch and wait for the sun to explode. That's not what I'm saying. You know, I'm saying,
yeah,
look, I think it is more important. You know, I mean, politics and this government, all the governments, are nothing but an albatross around all the people's necks. And when we start realizing that these people are the problem, not us, we'll be a lot better off. And you know what? We are unequally yoked with our government. If you are a Christian, you are unequally yoked with this government. And what does the Bible say about being unequally yoked? It's not a good thing. You know, and the thing is, hey, do we really think that if we get out there and vote now, hey, in Wichita, Kansas, you know, things might be better for a little while because you got a better mayor or whoever. But, you know, is that going to change anything in the Bible? No. You know, but the big elections like presidents and all that, it may. That may, and I don't think we can. I think what's written is written, and that's that. And I'm
Amen.
Sorry. How do we? Okay, so let me ask you: who do we vote for? What platform do we vote for that's going to get rid of all these homosexuals and get rid of all these transvestites trying to turn your children like them so they can have little sex toys? How do we turn all that around?
We're, okay, I got an answer for you.
How do we turn?
Number
okay.
one,
well,
no, I really do have a legitimate answer. Give me a minute to and I'm enjoying the talk back and forth. Mm-hmm. Number one is I do that. That has the, what do they say? The genie's already out of the bottle. I don't believe they're going to be able to reverse that. I honestly don't. But I will say, well, in the same light too, you know, we said, well, we're not going to turn back abortion. Under President Trump, states and governors have been encouraged by his presidency and by the things that he's been doing that abortions right now are the lowest they've been in so very long, and abortion laws are being overturned. So those, by voting Trump in, it did save lives, a lot of lives.
Oh,
sure.
I'm not
against it. We're not going to get the biblical Christianity that we want in the United States. But we have to try. And it goes back to this point. I believe that the whole reason the whole reason that we're at the place that we're at right now isn't at the fault of the government. The government is supposed to be we the people. We the people shut up. That is, was Christianity that, like, didn't vote in the election, but goes clear back to Johnson and the Johnson Amendment that made the church get out of the political arena. When the church got out of the political arena, we had prayer taken out of the school, which, by the way, President Trump just signed into giving that right and making sure that was assured. But the point is when Christians shut up, abortion ran rapid, and all these other things, the gay agenda and all that, because why? Biggest reason, the church was silent. It is upon us. We are supposed to warn the wicked of the way. That says it in Ezekiel 33:6. We are to warn the wicked of the way if we want to save our own soul. That, otherwise, their blood is on us. So we are supposed to stand up. We are supposed to fight all across the board. And it's irresponsible not to have your household prepared. It's irresponsible not to have extra water. It's irresponsible not to have extra food and so on. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and you know, I look at it differently. I mean, I'm very happy that Donald Trump got elected. I'm more happy with his performance than I thought I would be, to tell you the truth. But
I'm real surprised. Hey, I'm surprised as everybody else. I thought, I was hoping, you know, and I did vote for him, but I'm with you. I didn't think anything could turn us around at all, and this guy had set the whole world on its head. Back to you.
Well, and I don't think he's changed much of anything. We've got okay, Bogreitz told me something, and he told everybody, you know, I mean, he's done radio for a long time.
Yeah, but I respect him.
He explained something because he was in Vietnam, and they called in a strike, and, you know, everything looked legitimate at the time, right? Helicopters were getting rocket fire from a village at them, right?
Right.
So Bo ordered, smoke them, you know, and they did. And when they got there, you see, what had happened was the communists came in to this village, started, you know, let off a couple of rockets and some machine gun fire at the helicopters, and then ran off and left the villagers there. And the helicopters smoked the village and killed all the villagers and none of the communists, women and children included. And you know, when Bo got there, it was a horrible scene, and he said there was a woman there looking at him like, how could you do this? Why would you do this to us? And screaming at him and stuff, and it affected him, you know, because he realized these were innocent people, and he was responsible for their death. So he prayed to God, you know, for like any Christian would, going, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do now? I've done a horrible thing, right? He said, God told him, you know, because God, of course, like everybody else, has done from time to time. I'm sure you have, and I have, and everybody has.
Yeah,
oh,
amen.
God, why'd you let this happen? Why did you let this happen? You know, and Bo said, God told him, this isn't my war, it's your war. And the innocent must suffer so the guilty may be punished. And I think that's what we're experiencing with Trump. I think the Father has given us a chance, given Christians a chance to say, okay, I'm going to stand. And I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm not going to stand for Donald Trump. I'm not going to stand for elections. I'm not going to stand for any of that. I'm just going to stand for what's right. And that means the legislatures can do whatever they want to do. I am not hiring any transvestites or homosexuals. I'm not having anything to do with them. I'm not supporting them, and I will say whatever I please.
Amen.
And, you know, you just do that and take what you take and have faith in the Lord that he will stand with you while you stand to do the right thing. Because I'm telling you, I don't think voting is the right thing because you're always voting for the lesser of two evils. That's just my opinion, you know. I mean, that's how I look at it.
And I get that. And there are, for the record, I have somebody that's very close to me in the Mission Church, and he's been with us for over 7 years. I consider him an elder in the church. And he doesn't vote either, you know. He doesn't vote either. And I respect his opinion also.
I got nothing against – look, I'm not opposed to anybody voting. If you want to vote, vote. But if you don't want to, don't. But – If you don't vote, have a reason why you're not voting. Because, I was watching something on TV, and I'm just too lazy, and I'm just too tired. You know, none of that works. But if you got a legitimate reason, you know, for voting or not voting, then you should do what you are convicted to do.
I agree with that 100%. And you really said a lot of some really profound statements that I'd like to address. We only got a couple minutes before break, so I'm going to start on it. Number one, I agree with you that Trump was brought in here. I believe he was brought in here and I've said this many times, brought in here and answers prayer. It's up to us whether we keep Trump or what we do. And it relies on what you said, not the faith in Trump, while I believe the Father put him in there, but the faith in doing what is right. And that's the point. I think we saw that with the Patriots that showed up in Virginia. That's what we need to do. We need to stand up. And there's also my point. If we go backwards in time, if the church would have continued to stand up for what was right in the first place, then other people wouldn't have been hoodwinked into believing a lot of this garbage that is out there. Because it's important. You know, the word says, how can you know unless a preacher preach it to you? If the preachers aren't preaching and doing what they're supposed to do, I mean, even Paul Revere was a pastor. If the church doesn't stand up and speak out, then they're going to convince by the other side. That's human nature. Frank, please tell them where they can find your program. We'll go to break, and we'll get back with this really great conversation. Folks, we're having two sides to a conversation that's basically the same. Frank, tell them where to find you.
Well, same place you're listening to Dan here, American Voice Radio Network. I've dialed up the website a little bit. I'm still working on it, but it looks pretty good so far. And, you know, that's where. And I'm on at 2 p.m. Pacific time and 8 p.m. Pacific time Monday through Thursday. And then usually not on Wednesdays, but every once in a while I'll do a Wednesday night too, but not too often. But I never do Friday nights, but always 2 p.m. So that's how.
Okay. Well, folks, maybe we ought to wonder, what does he mean by dolled up? You know, that sounds a little... Anyway, we'll
maybe you ought to go look at it.
Back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
I've got a story to tell you, a message to deliver in song. If you'll give an ear to these words I sing, passion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls as they don't know. Walking in darkness, they cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Every single day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls. This message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard ripe, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Soon to lose their souls, they know now. Soon to lose their souls, they don't
In 66 A.D., the Roman general Cestius Gallus besieged Jerusalem. Historians say that Gallus would have taken the city had he continued in battle just one more hour. But for some unexplained reason, he retreated. Christians living in Jerusalem remember that Jesus had said that when they saw Jerusalem encompassed with armies, to flee to the mountains. They fled across the Jordan River to Pella, and were not in Jerusalem when the city was finally taken by Titus in AD 70. Over 1 million of the inhabitants of Jerusalem died, and up to 100,000 were taken captive. Christianity, on the other hand, survived in Pella and the other parts of the world where it had spread. In 120 AD, the Roman Emperor Hadrian built the pagan city of Aelia Capitolina on the ruins of Jerusalem. Up until that time, Christians living in Judea kept the commandments of God while worshiping Christ. After this time, however, anyone holding beliefs that could be associated with the God of Judaism were denied entry into the city. These Christians were truly the remnant of the very first group of believers. However, at this point in history, they were now considered narrow-minded and unenlightened because they refused to relinquish the faith set by Jesus, taught by his disciples, and practiced by the believers of the first century. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back, folks. This is Pastor Dan Kaplan. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're talking with Frank, and we're talking about Virginia and voting and a whole lot of things. We'll get right back at that in a minute. We need to talk about the Mission Church really quickly and brief. Folks, our ministry vehicle is down. It's really a big deal. We need some help with that. So pray about us. What we need. We need to raise about $1,500 so we can either fix or replace this vehicle. So please pray about that. Also, we do need your support for, well, you're listening to radio, right? Well, if you listen to radio, radio isn't free, so we need your support to stay on the air. Folks, we also need help for the Wichita Mission Church. Let's go with this. You know, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, make sure you tune into the other program that my wife and I are going to do a little later on tonight. We'll have some of the Mission Church in it, but I will tell you about one guy that came in. We have new people all the time, but this one new person came in, and he was just kind of standing there looking, and I said, could I help you? And he said, well, it's the first time I ever been here. So I took him around to, you know, showed him the place real quick, and then, you know, I let him go. Well, later on the day, we went and got it. We picked up a donation from FedEx of 145 pounds of shoes, which were all like medical shoes or something that it looked like the people had just wore like one time or something or two, probably more than that, maybe a week or so, but there was no nothing torn up about them. 145 pounds of various size shoes, right? Brought them in, put them in a closet, just let the people take what they wanted. But the point was, is later in the day, my wife told me the next day, she said, you know, that one guy that came in, it was new. He said, he came up to me and he told me, he says, I just can't believe it. She said, believe what? He says, well, believe that you just let people into your home and take whatever they want. And my wife goes, well, of course, we're a church. He said, well, I still can't believe that you just let everybody take anything that they want. And everybody is just getting what they want and what they need just by getting. You're not handing it out. And so it was a surprise, but that's how we work things over there. You know, you're there, you respect things. But anyway, it's a blessing. Anyway, you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Frank Stephan talking about various things. Are you there, Frank?
I am. If you can remember my name.
Yeah, I started to call you Steve. I don't know. I don't know a Steve. I know Steve, but nobody that's on my mind.
Well, if you're not going to call me Frank, I actually prefer Bob. Okay.
Bob.
Yeah. If you're not going to use my real name, I prefer Bob.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where Steve. Well, I don't know wherever you're at. Steve,
so when you have those senior moments, just call me Bob.
Okay, Bob. Anyway. Anyway, the last part of your statement just before we went to break, I really do believe is very, very profound, because you did say what's in my heart. I believe the problem with people is they, and especially we're talking about Christians, is they're not standing up for what they believe. And it means, you know, we've always heard the saying, or I hope everybody's heard it, if you walk the walk, if you talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. You have to do what you have to walk out your faith. You have to stand up. What do you think? Where are we at with this? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, and this is one of the reasons the other reason is obvious, but, you know, one of the reasons I don't like to be around other people that much is because, you know, I recognize that I am not the best example of a Christian, okay? I mean,
right.
I don't dress up like a girl or anything like that or anything super heinous. But, you know, I come across as harsh and a lot of people, that turns them away. And I don't want to do anything to turn people away from God, but I got to let them know what I read in the Bible, that, you know, my relationship with the Lord, what he told me is what I need to tell everybody, whether they want to hear it or not. I got to tell it to them, and it's not that I expect anybody to listen to me or do what I say or go read the Bible because I told them to or anything like that. It ain't about you. I can't save anybody. But
right.
I can tell you about how to get saved. I can tell you the good news. And the reason I need to do that is not for you. It's for me. Because you know what? If I don't tell you what's going on, your blood's on my hands. You going to hell is my fault, and I don't want that.
Yeah, amen. And that's what I pointed out earlier, was that 33:6 tells it. That's a mandate for all of us to stand up and warn the wicked of their way. While folks, most of this is called the watchman things, and a lot of people nowadays are watchmen. About every time you turn around, Frank, you know, I run into somebody that has warned the watchman.
Right.
But realistically, we are called to do that. We are called to stand up and speak out. Not, I guess what I could throw back at you, well, Frank, what if I said, well, you're not supposed to be judgmental, Frank. You're not supposed to judge. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm not supposed to judge things that I'm not entitled to judge, but the Bible tells me that I will know them by their fruit. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means I'm going to know you're a lying dirtbag, okay? Is that a judgment? No, you are a lying dirtbag. That's just a fact. Now, if I decide, well, you're a lying dirtbag, and I'm going to come over there and chop your head off. Well, now that's a judgment, okay? I've decided you're a lying dirtbag, and I've judged you guilty, so you die now. Well, I'm not supposed to do that, or that's what's going to happen to me. They'll, oh, yeah, because that's the other part of that. Judge not. Yeah, judge not. That's not the end of it. Judge not, or, well, it says lest you be judged in the same manner. Okay? It's not like, well, you can't do this. Well, you can, but this is the consequence. So, you know, you better be real, real, real careful when you're judging. Because when you judge, you will be judged in a like manner.
Right. It says first get it out of your life first and then do it. But let's go with that. You said something, again, really profound about the word judgment that I don't think a lot of people understand. Judge and judging somebody, you know what? It is not, I don't know where you're at with your walk. And if you claim to be a Christian, I'm probably one of the very last people that are, if you're telling me that you profess Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ is your Savior, I'm probably the last person, one of the last people that are going to say you're not saved.
That's not to judge you in that.
I don't know where your walk is. It's not for me to judge you, but it is, however, for you, as if, especially if you're my Christian brother, to say, wait a minute, don't step into that hole you're about to fall in. It is my job to do that. Otherwise, if you fall in that hole, then it is my fault. And I'm sure everybody can plainly see that. Who would let their mother step in a hole or their friend or even, for that matter, anybody step off into something and trip and hurt themselves? Although I do know a lot of people that would, nowadays, they just stand there and take pictures back to you.
Well, that's true. You know, a selfie even with that. Look at this. Have you ever seen those fails where people are trying to take pictures of themselves and they fall off a cliff or, kill themselves? People are nuts. People are crazy.
People are dead because...
But, you know, really, the thing is, though,
there's
a difference in my view anyway, okay? In my view, there's a difference between judging somebody and knowing who they are. You know, and once you know who they are and you go, well, you know, look, I know, you know, somebody's talking to you, you're going, boy, you're a liar and a thief. You know, that's what you're thinking, right? And then when the guy lies to you, what do? Do you just say, you accept the lie and just let it go on, roll off your back? Or do you stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, that ain't true. You're lying. You better prove that if you think you're going to say that. Because if you don't, you're a liar. Now, I'm not judging you. If you're lying, you're lying. That's not a judgment. That's just the way it is, okay? Now, if I say, you know, you better stop lying or you're going to go to hell. Well, now, if I start telling people, like, I'm going to send you to hell, well, ooh, that's bad news. But just to point out that, look, the Bible says if you keep doing this, this is where you'll end up. This is not judging people. This is just telling them, look, there are consequences to our actions, and if you keep doing what I see you doing, this is what's going to happen to you. And, you know, that's not judging somebody. That's just saying, look, it's like mom telling you, look, if you don't study for that test, you ain't going to pass. Well, duh.
That's absolutely explained very, very good, Frank. You have a great concept of what we're talking about. But they use that little piece of scripture to try to turn any kind of, pointing out that they're wrong against them. And they try to believe that, well, you know, once saved, always saved. And it ain't that. Let me say this and I'll let you comment. Folks, because the word tells us that once you, and it's in Hebrews, that's the New Testament even. Imagine that, Pastor Dan, pointing to the New Testament. Okay, if you sin willfully after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation that shall devour the adversary. And so it's real plain. If you have, if you have knowledge of the truth and you know what you're doing is wrong, I'll just say it like the kids say it in church. We ask them, what's that mean? They say, if you know what you're doing is wrong and you do it over and over again, you're not going to heaven, you're going to lake of fire. And that judgment is reserved for Yeshua, back to you.
Well, that's true, other than the fact that, you know, saved or not, we're all sinners.
Yeah, amen.
Because we're in this flesh, and this flesh is sin. That's what the Bible says.
It's, well, what's the difference between a sinner and somebody? Everybody's a sinner. We agree on that. But if a saved person and the unsaved, the difference should be this, and you can take it anywhere you want.
Well,
it should be this. The difference should be that once you have knowledge that you are lying, let's say, or doing something wrong, then you have to make every effort in the world to make that up and change your way, not continue on in it. We do realize when we get saved, hey, it's a learning process. But when we have knowledge that we're doing something wrong, we repent and move on, not continue on. Back to you.
Well, my experience is, and not just my own, but watching other people that I've had the opportunity to see, is that it's not I'm sure this has happened with a lot of people. I mean, anything can happen with the Lord, but from what I've seen, it is rare for somebody to, you know, go, boy, I need to get saved, and they go and they get saved, and then they're completely different the next day. I mean, that is rare, because mostly people, it takes a while. You know, it takes a long time. I mean, you know, because the thing is, and it depends where you start. You know, it's like anything. Like, okay, me and Dan are going to race, and we're going to race to the grocery store, right?
Right.
Well, okay, we agree to that, right? Okay, me and you are going to run to the grocery store and see who gets there first. Except Dan, you got to start two blocks away further than me. Okay? Who do you think's going to win that race? I don't even have to run. I can just walk there and beat you. You see, because I started somewhere long ahead of you.
Right.
That doesn't mean that, you know, well, then never mind, I'm not going to run the race. Because, you know, I mean, what is the big thing about the marathon racers? I mean, does everybody, okay, when the first guy crosses the marathon line, does everybody else just stop and get in their wheelchair and get, you know, wheeled off somewhere? They keep running, don't they? Even though they know they're not going to win, they keep running. Because why? They want to finish the race.
Right.
Okay, and that, we got to look at it like that.
Right. I agree with you. And again, it goes back to what I say. I don't know exactly where you're at with your walk and so forth, but I will say this. And it was also an effect with me. When I realized at where I was at, you know, and made that repentance, I look back now, I can see, boy, a lot of things that I thought I was still doing okay. I clearly wasn't. But I believe it's almost been my experience that the worst the sinner, when they did have that miraculous thing, the more profound that change was in them for the want of them doing right, rather than I see a lot of people that, you know, become saved and they talk about Yeshua or Jesus, but they weren't all that bad, but they really had a hard time because they weren't all that bad. I don't think they understood the depth of the things that they were in. I mean, they didn't shed it. They didn't change much. There you go. They didn't seem like they changed much. But the other people, most of them that really had that deep experience, was a profound change of wanting to change and wanting to then do right. I know with me, I was changed. I know what worthless pig of a dog that I was, you know, outlaw biker. I mean, I was a scum. But I thought I was a pretty good person. And for being an outlaw biker and a person in the world, I did consider to have with good nature, even though I hurt people. And that's pretty terrible. But the point is that when I got saved, I mean, I had a dramatic change. And there was the warmth. While I didn't know everything was wrong, what was wrong, rather, I had the profound want in me to change. And that's what I just marked different in people that were really far gone. And those, you know what I'm saying at all? Am I making any sense?
Well, yeah, and I like analogies, right? So I worked as a detail, a detail manager at a dealership here, and I own my own detail shop. And what I look at this as is you've got a used car comes in. It's got the faded paint. Looks like junk, right? I mean, it doesn't look good. The paint's faded. It's got scratches. The dog's pooped on the seats in the car. You know, the carpet's all dirty. The dashboard's all dusty. Everything's, you know, it's not that ugly car, right?
Right.
Then you got a new car. Well, guess what? On the detail on the dealership, they both have to be detailed. When a new car comes off the car carrier, you got to pull it in. You've got to take the Cosmoline off the motor with, you know, steam cleaners and chemicals, and then you've got to vacuum it out. You've got to tear all the plastic off, all the stuff. You've got to wipe the windows because they've got the off-gassing poison that you're breathing in your car stuck to the windshield and all the windows, so you got to clean that without any, streaks. But to the casual onlooker, a new car before being detailed and a new car after being detailed, you don't see that much difference. You got to look really, really close to notice the differences. However, you take that ratty old used car that was buried in the lake, and they want that detailed. Well, it comes in and they go, oh my gosh, throw that in the dump, crush that, and, you know, get rid of that. And then you detail it for 5-6 hours, and it looks like a new car. See, people go, wow. Well, it depends where you start from. If you start from a new car, you know, you're going to have to look carefully to see the difference between a detailed and an undetailed new car. But if you take a used car, you're going to notice right away, and it's going to be a big difference.
That's really good. I like that. I really do like that. You know, one of the profound things that I noticed, though, when I came out of the world, and we're talking, I'm not talking about people that may be being saved. I don't know how to place that category. But they're among the people that I saw in churches and around that were going around and, you know, they were supposed to be good, right? You know, they're Bible people all their lives or whatever. But yet, there was more, to me, in their personal lives, there was more honesty among the people that I had seen that were unsaved and loyalty than I did see in the church, so to speak.
Oh, golly, yeah.
And so, you know, there's... Well, I'm sure this isn't the way with all, but profoundly, that's what I kept running into when I first came out of the world was the people that I saw in the church. I could just go, well, wow, you know, the word were no good. You know, in fact, the Wichita Mission Church, if I had everything that a Christian told me or somebody in the church told me that I was going to get, or even people that have called me on the telephone that proclaim to be Christians and say, hey, I'm going to do this for you, or we're going to do this for the ministry. And you know what? If that was the case, we'd have a brand new mission go on for hours, but we wouldn't be hurting like that we do. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They just, the word isn't any good. And the Torah tells us, you know, when we say something, it becomes as I'm paraphrasing naturally, but our word becomes as a law unto the Father. So it isn't you when I say, Frank, I'm going to do this for you. I made a pact unto God because he holds me on my word. Otherwise, I'm a liar and so on. You see where that goes. So I'm supposed to keep my word to the best of my ability. If I can't, I tell you why I can't. But I'm supposed to try, not just make things out of thin air. You know what I'm saying? Just to be talking or sounding good for the moment. Back to you.
Well, I grew up in a family. My mother was a Lutheran. My dad was an excommunicated Catholic who thought he was an atheist. And, you know, they made an agreement not to push either one of the religions on me. And all we had was a Bible in the house. And I, as a kid, I was an only child. So I read the, you know, it was a big Bible with lots of pictures, you know, one of the fancy ones. And I read that and I looked at the pictures. And I, as a kid, okay, you got to remember a child's mind. I read what I could understand, and what I came to the understanding, you gotta also realize, you know, I'm an only child, okay, and I live on a farm fairly isolated from everybody else except adults, right?
Right.
So when I read in the Bible, I read about Jesus, and I came to the conclusion, well, Jesus is my older brother. And, and that's how I went through my childhood, really believing that and talking to him in my room and all that, but I wasn't saved. I didn't know anything about being saved. Okay. I didn't understand that part as a child. All I understood is I read the cool part that I've got an older brother in heaven. This is great. You know, for an only child isolated on a farm, good news, right? So, but then I grew up and I started less and less and more and more world. And, then I got a motorcycle and a car and got friends and girls and booze and drugs and then. So then you go, right? And then later on, and I'm not going to go into the details, I got saved. Now, this is my point in telling anybody that story. I believe there are a lot of people out there that know about Jesus, that even know Jesus. You know, they feel a familiarity and they feel a friendship and all that, like I did as a kid. He was my older brother. I really believed it, okay? But I wasn't saved. And this is a danger, I think, with today's church. I don't think they make it clear that, look, just loving Jesus and thinking he's great and all that, isn't it fun to be a Christian? That's all good, but it doesn't mean you're saved. You got to get saved. There is one way and only one way, and that's what you got to do. Everything else is great, but that's a necessity. Because it'd be a real bummer to get, to the gates and find out that, the guy you thought you knew and loved, and he don't know you.
Right, right.
You know.
He said, get away from me. He'll say to some of those, get away from me, for I knew you not. And absolutely, you're right. And I think that's what we experience with a lot of people out in the church and in the whole world. And when I say the church, it doesn't necessarily mean the building down the street. The church is, if you look up that word, it's ecclesia. That's the body of Messiah. And so when we say of the body of Messiah, are you truly part of the body of Messiah? While you may proclaim to be, you may not get it. You're really just not, because you're like Frank says.
Ask yourself when the next time you walk into your church where your donations are tax deductible, find out, ask somebody, who are you a part of? You're not a part of the body of Christ. You're a part of a corporation. Okay?
Right.
And that's the fact, because you cannot be a 501c3 church if you are not incorporated.
Right.
Could not go down and say, hey, I want to get a 501c3. Even if he wanted to, they wouldn't give it to him because they say you got to incorporate.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, but, and I'll say this is the finale to that, but I will say this. It says, the IRS says, a church does not have to become a 501c3.
Right.
Because they are already non-tax accessible.
That's right.
Well, Frank, thanks for being on with me. I really enjoyed today's program. I really enjoyed the back and forth. I'm sure you folks did too. And we're basically on the same page.
Thanks,
anyway,
Dan.
Thanks for being on with me, Frank.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, folks, tune in. Check out Frank. Check out American Voice Radio, AmericanVoiceRadio.com or AVRNTV.com. Check it out. If you go American Voice Radio, you'll find it. Anyway, or follow one of the links. Folks, we need to pray for this country. We really, really need to pray for this country. But your actions go beyond words. You're not supposed to be saddled. The 501c3 church is basically saddled. Trump's trying to free them, but that isn't the point. You are free. Stand up for what's right. That's my point. If you say you're this, stand up and be that. You need to fight back. The reason that evil wins is because good men do nothing. So you need to stand up. Wichita Mission Church really does need your help. Also, just, we're all, the Mission Church, radio, all of us together, but if you make a donation for radio, which we do really need a donation for radio, for airtime, it's coming up, in 7 days. Mark that donation for radio. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. Get all the information over the phone, or you can find the information at prophecyhour.com. But the most important thing, really, you must remember, there really is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.